It's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Okay, welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler, post-midterm election edition. Man, oh man, my guest, my savior here is Penny Rich, my senior democracy correspondent. We're just hungover is what we are. That's what the term is. And by the way, I didn't have anything to drink last night. I'm just hungover from the experience. It's all forms of intoxication. And to me, election nights are simply an intoxicating experience. That's just how it is for me.
You know, it's I've talked to people, Gene, and you're probably one of these people that you get very, it's like a roller coaster. You get very emotional at times, and then you're feeling like down, and then you feel up, and then you're like, oh, and I don't know that elections were always like that. And you can tell me, I mean, I just, for me, it was when I started voting, I was in New York and there was no early voting and you had to wait online around the corner and you go in and you pull that thing and the curtain would close. And
you know, when I first voted in North Carolina, I lived in Durham and we were at the firehouse and it was in the booth and you pulled the lever,
closed
the curtain behind you. And then you had, you know, we talk about pulling the lever for Democrats and all that. You could do that back then. You can't do that on our paper
ballot.
Not in
North Carolina, yeah.
You have to color in each and every one that you wanted to vote for, which was almost comical on our particular ballot in Orange County because there were so many uncontested races.
It was boring. It
felt like
boring.
A silly exercise, but
it was Orange County was boring last night. That's why, you know, I paid a little bit of attention just because I wanted to know what the judges were doing, and certainly our state senate seat, I was excited about that. But you know, after that I kind of like went, okay, let's find out what's going on with the rest of the country, you know, because rest of the state, rest of the country. It's uncontested races are just quite frankly.
That's a drag. That's disappointing.
It's a total drag. It's very disappointing. Yeah.
I feel like for county commissioner races and city council type races, municipal races, that we're better off if those are contested races.
Absolutely,
in the best sense of the term, contested, not like
and firmly contested. But you know, you don't have a chance to hear what our county commissioners stand for now. Like, do you know what anyone's platform is?
I wonder what they're going to do. I have no idea.
I mean, you just don't know.
How can you cut through all of the Ted Budd ads telling me that Sherry Beasley's going to kill me in my sleep? Those ads for Ted
Budd,
most of which were paid for from money came from sources out of state. And those things were just plain offensive to me. I have to tell you the truth.
Oh, they were terrible.
Like they were egregiously racist and.
Oh, totally racist. And you know, you and I are both Jeopardy fans, and my mom, my 93-year-old mom, that's how we have a bite to eat around 7 o'clock and we watch Jeopardy together. That's our nightly thing. And I had to mute those ads when they came on.
Oh, they were awful. You know, they're like watching Jeopardy, America's favorite game show.
Yeah,
high level compared to what some game shows are, I suppose. And you know, you go right from that into the "we're coming for you" swamp of political ads. And I did the same thing. And I mean, it was like, oh my goodness, I just and they were on at every stinking opportunity.
It was bad. You know, I wonder what it was like. Because we live in Orange County, so we only had certain ads were here. The Ted Budds and the Sherry Beasley were probably ran statewide. But some of the ads were just, I don't know, like, you know, we had some of the state senate races and representative seats. But geez, I don't know, like what happened? Like,
I saw a lot of Wiley Nickel.
And Bohan,
ads, and happily, here's the thing. This is how low the bar has been. When I heard that Wiley Nickel won, and that Bo Hines lost, now that's Ted Budd's district,
right?
Now a Democrat has been elected to replace him. That thing that made me excited is that Bo Hines conceded. Yeah. And that Dr. Oz conceded. And by the way, I couldn't help but notice, I'll just make this comment, from none other than Maggie Haberman reporting that Donald, 45, is already explaining why it is that he backed, what a mistake it was to back Dr. Oz, something he says he did at the behest of his wife. Uh-huh. So he's got to blame Melania. So
someone's always got to get thrown
under the bus. Possibly be his fault.
No. Well, you know, he did not have a good night. Let's face it. You know, he had a number of people that he endorsed that just did not win. And that was good for America. I have to say, you know, we looked at that across America, it was good that these election deniers didn't make it into office. Now, there are a few that did make it into office that I think are absolutely crazy and can still wreak havoc on democracy. But these folks that he single-handedly chose, I think it might be over for Donald. I think that
I tell you what, there's a couple of things about Donald. And one of them is when it comes to these specific handpicked candidates, I'm going to have to see a lot more information to understand how in the world J.D. Vance won that race.
Yeah, that's scary, huh?
That was really disappointing. I thought Tim Ryan was going to...
Well, I think the Democrats could have helped it, Tim Ryan, a little bit more. Although, I mean, I would have never thought that J.D. Vance would have won. If out of all of them, him and how about Herschel Walker being so close to Warnock? I mean,
I have an idea about that, but we
might save that for segment two, huh?
Yeah, we're gonna save the Herschel runoff for all the running comparisons, right?
Here comes Georgia.
I'm disappointed. I think the number is something like 150 people who referenced either sympathy for or outright support for the insurrection or at least referencing that they still had questions, you know, whatever that means. This is obviously to appease Trump and Trump supporters and that they want to win their votes. Now, I'm pretty sure, and I've been wrong about plenty of things in my life.
But no.
I mean, that's really true, Penny. No. I'm pretty sure that when they get into office, that's all going to be dropped in the trash can, and they're going to try to do a job so they can get reelected. They're going to try to legislate. They're probably going to try to impeach Biden. There's going to be a push to try to make some trouble for Joe Biden.
I agree with that. We know
that that's coming, and it's fraudulent from the get-go, right?
I mean, it is.
They're going to have to produce some problematic stuff. The other problem they have, though, is that Joe Biden very clearly is a deal maker.
Right.
And he is a successful politician in every sense of that term. He knows what they need. He knows what they want to try to do. He's going to try to persuade them that it's going to, whatever the numbers end up being, in either house of Congress, it's going to be a razor thin margin. And that means that can work very much in favor of Joe Biden.
I totally agree. I also think that you're right. They're going to try and pull this impeachment crap, and they're going to try and pull. And I think America's tired of that.
At least the extreme wing is going to want to do that.
But
Jordan's going to want to do that. And
Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh my God.
Right. We'll see where it goes.
But it's not good. I just don't think that America has a stomach for that crap anymore. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I, I, yes, we're gonna worry about Hunter Biden's laptop. That's not gonna make the price of gas go down. That's not gonna make the price of eggs go down. Right. You know, going after large corporations and making deals with large corporations is gonna make the prices of going down. That's we don't right. need to get thrown into a recession and let the working class people have to suffer because of corporate profits. So I think that Joe Biden has to play his cards very, very carefully. And I think he will. You're right. He's really smart. He's been here for a very long time.
And we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Joe's press conference today, which had some very, really fascinating moments. Some vintage Joe Biden in there.
Vintage
stuff. And boy, he's got a twinkle in his eye. This is going to get real interesting next year. We're talking to Penny Rich. We're giving our little election night breakdown of how we didn't have a breakdown on election night. You're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich, and you would not believe what we're talking about on these breaks. It's just
shocking.
It is some shocking material that will never make air. Okay, well, let's talk about Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock. Speaking of things that are shocking. Early in the night, you know, you were talking about the emotional roller coaster.
Sure.
Election
night.
Yeah. And at about 9:30 or 10 o'clock, I said out loud, this is what caused that to happen. Is I said to my husband, you know, I think Warnock's gonna win this by, you know, 5 points, by 10 points. I think he's just gonna run away with it. Because what I thought was maybe this is going to be Georgia's version of the Bradley effect, that people are going to say they're going to vote for Herschel Walker because, yeah, buddy, they're loyal Republicans, but that maybe when it comes right down to it, the idea of putting that guy into the United States Senate is not such an appealing idea. Well, that turned out to be, as I mentioned earlier, I could be wrong.
Yeah. Which I was shocked that you actually could be wrong, but
I
have to agree with you.
Way off on that.
Well, I it's just hard to believe in. And I was with a group of people last night, and it was really nice. It was a lot of hardworking folks that worked on campaigns, so it was exciting to watch the results with them. But you know, they were young and old, and black and white and Latino, and I mean, it was just a really nice mix of people.
Yeah.
And everyone just sat there and looked at these results as people were voting for Herschel Walker, and really were just kind of like, I mean, I don't want to say it on air, but they were just kind of like, what the what? I mean, it was just like, what, like who in the world thinks that a Herschel Walker would make a good senator, right? But then I don't know. You think about it, like I don't know what the Republican plan was. But I don't know if you and I talked about this, but maybe someone else is that you get Herschel Walker in there and then the Republicans turn on him like that and then they replace him, right? And that's what everybody was thinking last night. Like, they don't really want Herschel Walker in there. I mean, how far is he, they're going to be able, how far are they going to manipulate him and tell him?
I know exactly what their deal is.
I mean, he's not.
I know exactly what their deal is.
He's not a politician. He's not very smart. And he's been hit in the head way too many times. Right?
The poor guy.
You got to admit it. I mean, come on.
Well, here's look. Let's not overthink Herschel. Poor Herschel Walker. Here's what it is. The Republicans, starting with Trump. First of all, Trump as a broad strategy wants to put up weak candidates to strengthen the Democrats a little bit. So that he can come in 24 and say, oh, look at these. This is a terrible mess. I've got to come back and straighten it out.
Only
I alone can fix it.
I alone can fix it.
So that's his big strategy, his giant strategy, which, you know, I mean, I hope that he's trying to execute that strategy from Rikers. That's what I hope. The issue with Mr. Walker is very simple. It is, and I mean, I've got a lot of Black correspondents who agree with me about this. The idea is that he is the Republicans' most racist idea of a stereotypical Black man.
Yeah.
That he is simple-minded and easily manipulated, and that by God, he's going to do exactly what they tell him to do. That when either Mitch McConnell or Donald Trump, most especially, say to him, you know, vote yes on the What the What Act, or vote no on it, he's just going to do what he's told. He's going to, as Joy Reid, I think, most excellently described this, she said, you know, whatever they say to do, he will comply.
Mm-hmm.
And he will bend the knee and comply. He knows that he's there because they put him there. Honestly, what I don't understand about him is what in the world is appealing to him about this.
No, it's not. But you know what, though? He's been manipulated by white people his whole life, right? Look, he's not a very smart man, but he could play. He played football very well, right? So that was his first kind of manipulate, get him into college, get him into pro ball. And so it just continued. And he, you know, give him a little bit of credit. He was like, okay, this is my ticket. This is my ticket. But it's
right.
He doesn't. Politics is a whole different game, though, Gene. You know it is.
And yeah, it is. That's right. And he doesn't know anything about this.
No. What does he know about policy? Or I mean, it's
no
it's
right. Not. And that's why, I guess, from his point of view, they're saying, don't worry about that. We're going to take care of all of that for you. We're going to tell you how to vote.
Yeah, until he says something really stupid
at a press
conference. Yeah.
Foreign policy thing or some treaty that needs, you know, whatever. We're going to take care of all of that for you. All you have to do is stand next to Mr. Trump and smile and wave. I mean, I think that's what the deal is. Now, I don't think that that's going to be a problem because I don't think he's going to be elected. They're going to go to a runoff. On December 5th, I think, 5th or 6th.
Yeah.
They're going to go to a runoff, and Warnock, at that point, that's when he's going to win this by 10 points. It's something that really lifted up and helped Walker a lot is Kemp being on the ballot.
Right. And he's not going to be there.
And he won't be, won't be there, but he doesn't like Herschel Walker. So he is not going to extend himself in any significant way.
Right.
And Kemp, by the way, I think probably rather handily won his race, partly because he really did not comply with what Trump wanted him to do 2 years ago. He stood up okay to Trump in the aftermath of the 2020 election. Trump wanted him to intervene and interfere and break the law, and he didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, just getting
back to Herschel. Witness who has to testify now before the grand jury.
But that's
he's not a target.
Herschel Walker, the joke, I think it was probably... I don't know. He's here and he's got to do a runoff. So he bought a new pair of running shoes because, you know, that's his mentality. I mean, it might be Andy Borowitz or something said that, but
probably.
You know, I think
Andy Borowitz is probably the guy who's had the greatest challenge in his job for the last few months
because some of the
stuff that he tries to do is funny because it seems outrageous.
But then it's true, isn't it?
It's getting harder and harder to find the edge without falling off.
Exactly. You know, just real quick about Kemp. I think that I think Stacey Abrams also ran a really good race, but it's Georgia's going to be a hard nut to crack, just like Ohio was a hard nut to crack. But you know what about Pennsylvania? And I know we've got to talk about that. I don't know what your time is, so you're the official. Timekeeper, but Pennsylvania,
I have something surprising to say about Pennsylvania, and I'm going to say it when we come back, talking with Penny Rich, our senior democracy correspondent. You're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler. post-election breakdown, we didn't have a breakdown after all.
Not really.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, we're saving it. I guess we're going to have to save it for 2 years from now. You know, anyway, you're listening to 97.9 The Hill. We'll be right back. My quick comment about the Pennsylvania race is that we need reforms in election laws, including in Pennsylvania and every state, that Dr. Oz should not have been permitted to be on that ballot because he doesn't live in Pennsylvania. Just as Elizabeth Dole did not live in North Carolina when she ran for the Senate from this state. And so that's my comment about the Pennsylvania race. That's a race that shouldn't have been constructed in the way that it was. And now on to other topics.
You talked about the baseball game once before, but I think it's a good analogy. So you could do it again.
I went to a Red Sox Baltimore Orioles baseball game for my birthday in August, and it was just striking to me that, you know, the election cycle was starting to really heat up, and it was just striking to me that I think that Major League Baseball and how baseball games happen, you know. I think that's what America wants in politics. You know, two teams come together. You have an agreed to set of rules. They're gonna play the game, fight it out, try their best to win. And then under the rules, we're going to know what happened. And one team will win and the other will not. And everyone will peacefully pick up their marbles and go home and come back tomorrow and play another game. And it was just so striking to me, the teams at that particular game, because the Orioles were pretty good this year and the Red Sox conspicuously were not, that the Orioles fans were very passionate and that you had people sitting right next to each other, one for each team, a diehard fan for each team. And, you know, they're kind of yelling and screaming and having so much fun at the game. And the Orioles organization has some really fun stuff that they do for the fans. They have a segment that they where they play the music from the beginning of The Lion King, and everybody in the stadium there, everybody with a baby holds the baby up like they do in The Lion King. It's really cute.
Yeah.
And there's just stuff like that that you just have to admire, that they're really giving a lot of families a nice, fun fan experience. And the fans for the home team are really devoted to their team. And if a Red Sox fan is sitting next to you and they need to pass your beer along to you, they just do it.
Right.
Just like people do, Penny. And I think that kind of agreement about competition and human cooperation, I think that's what people really want.
And oh, I do too.
I think that's what America really is.
I do too. World. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think we might have lost that because unfortunately, Donald has taken that idea away from us, that we have to constantly be at battle and fighting each other. But we don't, because you go to, like you just said, you go to a baseball game and you're each rooting for different teams, but you're all there for the same reason, right? You want to have a good time.
Right.
You want to watch a good game.
You're there for the game and the sport.
And the camaraderie and, you know, seventh inning stretch when everybody gets up
all
and sings.
Of it, right.
I mean, that's what it's all about. And that is what America is all about. And we need to get back to that. You know, that's one thing that I fear when we see what's happening now in this election is that, you know, we're going to come to a standstill. We're going to be in, you know, 2 years of like, oh, let's impeach and indict and do this and then this and that. That's not what the American people want. The American people want progress and move forward. Get us out of like the little slump that we're in. We just came off of a horrible pandemic. Let's try and like build America back and make it the way that we want it. Right. I mean, it's not that difficult.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit.
Oh, good. I like it. Okay. Let's go.
So what you've said is that, that, you know, Trump promotes the idea that you know, that we're in this pugilistic, you know, combative thing, and that the civil war is around the corner, and that he's the only one who can protect us and all this. He is doing that. And but what I'm saying is, I don't think we have to get back to this. I think we've had it all along. I think part part of what we have to do is turn off the TV.
Yeah, or social media, right? I mean, because social media.
And definitely social media. And
total trash right now.
Get a grip on that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you can have the perception that, you know, everybody's ready to lurch at each other and all that. But then when you go out, you go to a Carolina basketball game, go to the Carolina Duke game at Cameron, the last game of the year, Carolina beats Duke. Do you know of a more contentious rivalry? I don't.
Oh, no.
And the idea that anybody would get hurt at that game or you know, be threatened really physically. No. That's not how we roll around here. And that's really not how it is in most of the country most of the time. I realize that sometimes it gets rough, and I'm not naive about that. But what I believe is that it is the former president's, the former guy's approach is to cause us to be sucked into the perception that it's like that everywhere all the time. They're out to get us and just promote that paranoid thing. And that, you know, if you say to yourself, you know, like think about stories that you've heard about people who were just so drawn into Fox News that when they, you know, if they go out to the shopping mall, they just can't believe that people are so civil to each other. And it's because it's not like it's being portrayed. Okay, we're going to keep talking to Penny Rich. There's nothing I can do about it. I just can't help myself. If you're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Oh my goodness, we're completely off the rails with Penny Rich as per usual. So I don't know what we were talking about before. What were we talking about before? So what a lovely surprise we enjoyed in the returns and in the exit polling. Exit polling is a good kind of polling. Yeah. We learned some really, really, really fascinating things. Yesterday, I must say, was a really, really great day for people who are interested in protecting abortion rights, which it turns out is a very substantial majority of Americans.
Of America.
All over the place.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. A ballot initiative protecting abortion rights passed folks in Kentucky.
Everywhere, though. Yeah, Kentucky.
But no, everywhere.
Everywhere.
They amended the Constitution in Vermont.
Yeah.
To protect
California. I mean, well, California's a given, but you know, you're right. I mean, it was,
I'm telling you, the GOP better give up on that one. They better just step back and act like they never heard about Roe versus
Someone
Wade.
Better talk to them, because I mean,
hold hearings and discover how pregnancy occurs in the first place.
Well, first they obviously have to know how, they don't know how that whole thing functions down there.
They didn't do the homework.
They, you know, like as Jenny Black, our guest last week, who was fabulous, told us, there's not enough sex education that is taught to, especially young men, because they clearly have no idea. Because when you become a senator or a congressman and you say the dumb things that you're saying,
it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
If I was that guy's biology teacher in high school, I would quit my job.
I would fail him and then send him the failing grade 30 years
back and
later.
Amend his record.
I'm going back and amending.
Listen, you know, speaking of old fossils, you know, we mentioned once or twice that 89-year-old Chuck Grassley has just won another term in Congress representing the apparently asleep people of Iowa.
Why?
I have to say, you know, I'll just put it out there. Our party has a couple of people who, you know, really should go back home to the farm.
They should.
They should. And here's why that's important. it's important, Penny, because I hope this is not a shocking revelation to you or anyone who's driving right now listening to our program. You're not going to live forever.
Shocking.
And, you know, having a plan, a transition plan to the next generation, and a sense of transfer of leadership skill, continuity of these skills. I want to see young and middle-aged women
absolutely
in leadership roles
absolutely
in the House of Representatives while Nancy Pelosi is still there. She
right.
won't be. She probably, we don't know yet as of this taping, but she's probably not going to be Speaker next year, but she's a really, really good candidate to be Minority Leader.
Right.
And there's a lot to be said for that in training up and frankly, just leading by example, as she has certainly done in the last 2 years. Oh, my.
Yeah, God. No. And Jean, I have some really strong feelings about this. And I get into arguments with my sisters a lot because they think that I sometimes have some ageism things going on, but I don't. I just feel like it is so important to, like you said, pass the torch, but really stay there so you can mentor people.
Exactly.
So you step down a little bit and you become the mentor and you let other people shine. And if we don't do that, look, we're going to go, we need to talk a little bit about, you know, the Gen Z turnout, because, you know, everyone thought they didn't
That's
turn
exactly
out.
That's exactly where I'm going, Penny, because
yeah, I mean,
they turned out, man. They showed
they
up.
They did. And that generation, they are so much more politically attuned than I was. And I have to tell you, some of the folks that I work with, they're young, they're wonderful around the UNC campus and the young Dems. And just in general, I think it's probably the same on the other side with the young Republicans. They're smart and they want to learn and they want to get involved. And if you keep voting for Chuck Grassley or, you know, on our side, DeFi, I mean, I love her to death, but come on. You know, if you have to be right. shown the way to get the direction to get into the room so you could vote, I'm sorry. It's you know, I another thing though that I'm a little disappointed in, but not so much, but, you know, we can't say, okay, someone's going to retire and then we're not going to go and vote for someone much, much younger. You don't get someone in there that's only 10 years younger. That's not showing that we're supporting young people. You start getting people that are younger and younger, and you just mentor them into these positions where they can become congresswoman or congressman. They can become a senator. But we can't do that if we're going to keep electing people over and over for like 20 years in a row. And I'm not in favor of term limits. Don't get me wrong. I think though that there's got to be a time where you say, okay, it's time for me, like you said, pass the torch. Let's bring someone on here that can help, because
this is what leadership is.
It's exactly what leadership is.
This is about cultivating people who are of the same mind, roughly,
right.
have the same values as you within your party, and can carry on.
Right. Right.
And you know, you're expanding the base of who's out in front for your cause.
Exactly.
I mean, oh my goodness, there is anybody, and so many of these people are parents and grandparents, and I cannot fathom why this eludes them so much.
Oh, I know.
Well, you want to teach your children to be independent, because when you're gone, you want them to be okay.
Yeah, but a colleague of mine once said that a power is a sickness. And power, when you become an elected official, can be really overwhelming to you. And you don't even realize that it's happening to you. Like, why is a Chuck Grassley even running? Like, who has encouraged him to run? And then they're voting for him. Like, he's 89. Right. Look, my mom is 93. And I'll tell you, she's 4 years older than Chuck Grassley. I could never imagine my mom being in that position. I mean, that is just sometimes it takes her 3 hours to like wake up in the morning. I mean, come on. Jersey Jackie is pretty cool, right? So
on any given day. But
look, we need to.
Why doesn't Chuck Grassley have a mentee that he is saying
right now,
this is my protege
right now.
This is my guy from Iowa who I really want to replace me, and I endorse him, and I'm stepping down, and I hope that he'll run for this office and so forth. I mean, I can think of, oh my goodness, I can think of a lot of great leaders. You know, one of the things that, well, maybe this is not the best example of greatness, but one of the things that Bill Clinton got a lot of credit for was party building,
right.
was trying to bring people along to come into government, not necessarily to come and replace him in office, but to come into government and serve.
And, oh, absolutely.
And the mindset of, you know, this is public service. The country needs this. It's noble, it's professional, and it can be a great and rewarding career. And bring three of your friends.
Right. And I think sometimes people are afraid to do that because they're afraid the younger generation is going to take over. Well, good. Let them take over.
Oh, yeah, they are. I mean,
good. Let them take over. And see, that's a problem. Like when you think about our local politics in Orange County also, like there's not a whole hell of a lot of young people there, right? I mean, you've got Carrboro and Chapel Hill have a few young people, but the rest of them are either retired or don't have jobs and they're not really... I mean, I'm not picking on anyone, but they're not really in touch with like, what is the next generation thinking? What do they want? I mean, I talk to my kids and all the time they're like, you know, Mom, this is so disappointing. And we could do better. And I agree with them. I think that the next generation can and will do better.
They will. Look at the tools they have.
They will.
Look at the tools they have.
Absolutely. We need to give them a chance though. We can't shut them out and keep electing, you know, 60 and 70 year old people because they've had 25 years of service and they're wonderful.
Well, wait a minute. We're both 60 something. Let's say 70, 80 year old people.
Well, but still, I think that it's wrong to dismiss the importance of like the Gen Z turnout. I mean, who just like you said before, they snuck up on everyone.
It was a sneak attack. I love it. I love that that happened. I think I told you this the other day, but if I didn't, I'm remiss. I saw a guy who is a director of polling for the Harvard School of Government. And he said about a week ago, oh, the Gen Z turnout is just going to knock you on your keister. You won't believe how they're going to turn out. They're registering in enormous numbers. They're on nobody's radar. They're not going to appear in any poll. I'm sorry, Tom Jensen, but you're not going to find them. They're not likely voters. They're not reliable voters because they never voted before, some of them. We just elected our first Gen Z member of Congress.
That's right. Yeah.
25 years old. And if this doesn't send you off the road, I don't know what will. This guy was born in 1997, which I can hardly stand. But anyway,
my kid was born in 1997. I know. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, that was a good year then.
It was.
Yeah.
No, so. But it's really good. But you know, what's interesting though, because so now, like you know, Republicans, because they always have to find a way to stop people from voting instead of encouraging them for voting. They didn't. Right. They didn't like that much that the Gen Z came out. The 18 to 25 year olds. They didn't like it.
So not one bit.
No. So what are they thinking about doing? Raising the voting age. Come on. Because they didn't like that 18.
Well, that's hilarious.
I mean, but it falls in line with gerrymandering. It falls in line with everything else that they do. What? So instead of rewarding young people for like coming out and making an effort and paying attention to politics and doing their research and know who they want to vote for and know that they want to take care of their bodies and have total control over their bodies, they want to punish them. I mean, that's not going to work.
I think that's the funniest thing I've heard in 6 months, Penny Rich. And, it brings me back to what Joe Biden said in the press conference today, you know, try me. You know, watch me, he said about, do you think maybe your time is up and you shouldn't run for election? And he said, watch me. Yeah. I would issue the same statement in a manner of speaking to anybody who thinks they could possibly raise the voting age. Yeah, go ahead and try it.
To 21. Yeah.
So listen, we're many minutes over time, of course. This goes without saying. Penny Rich, I always love talking to you. You're the most fun ever.
Maybe
we can wrap this up, but do it again next week. And, you know, there's a lot more to cover, and there's races that are,
well, we don't know yet, right?
Far from decided, right?
Yeah, like, it comes out
like
on the weekend,
we didn't even talk about Kerry Lake, you know, because we just want to go completely off the rails, but but we will. We'll wrap it up. And I'll just say thank you as always. And,
absolutely.
Folks, if you're, you know, and by the way, you know, go Tar Heels. Mac Brown's been a lot of fun to watch because he's a happy person, and happy people, happy people are fun to watch. You know, if you're going out, mask up. And if you're staying in, keep it right here on 97.9 The Hill.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc, and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.